Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm here to call to worship. Autumn's going to come up here and sing.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning?
Doing well.
Great. Yes, we're gathered here to praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song called Majesty. I'm going to sing it through for us once, and then you all can join us. I believe your words are here. I don't think it's in the bulletin. Okay, let's get started. Majesty, worship His majesty unto Jesus, be all glory, honor, and praise. Go ahead and stand and sing with me. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem. Worship His majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
As we're standing, the Star Spangled Banner, 700, I'm sorry folks, I didn't get a chance to look this up real quickly, 779, thank you Matt.
Thank you.
application. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for this great day you've given us, Lord, to come here. Thanks for those that showed up, Lord, keeping us safe. Thanks for all that we got done this past week, Lord, and keeping us safe through it. But mostly, Lord, the opportunity to come back here today to worship you. Thank you for our country, Lord. We know it has many, many problems, Lord. We'd ask that our leaders might turn to you, Lord. I say this every time I get a chance to pray, Lord, that they would turn to you, Lord, for the answers they need in guiding our nation. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be freely sing of our nation and what you have given us, Lord. It is your grace bestowed upon us that we live in this free land, Lord. Help us to always remember that and not to be afraid to tell folks of you, Lord, and what you've done for our nation. Be with us now, Lord, today as we continue. I ask you to give our pastor special strength today, Lord, as he brings forth your message you've laid in his heart. Thanks for all that have showed up today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See, one more song. Here we go. Page 11, folks. Page 11.
Power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can describe? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Thank you. Let's see, Jason's not here today, so here we go. Our announcements for this week. Let's see, our drama team is going to meet on Monday at 6 o'clock in the evening. Don't forget tonight, our evening service at 6. The message tonight is going to be Paul's testimony. Good one to hear. What's yours? It's in Acts 22, so don't forget that. We need volunteers to help set up on Saturday the 20th for our Thanksgiving service. And please see Pastor if you'd like to help out. See drama sketch on December the 12th. Don't forget that. There's no Wilton's Bible study for the remainder of the month. There's no women's Bible study for the remainder of the month also because of Thanksgiving coming up and our creation series coming. We extend our thanks and gratitude to our veterans. Praise God for them all. For your service to America, and we salute you. Pastor's thought for the week, weapons sales are at an all-time high as people have concerns over defending themselves and their property. Christians, are you prepared to defend your faith? Wow, that's fantastic. So, let's see. Next, we have special music. My Aunt Sharon's going to sing today. Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't this a wonderful day the Lord's given us today? We need to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today. If you're here visiting, again, we are always thankful for everyone that has come. I look forward to meeting you if we have some today. We have, yes, Jeff.
We keep forgetting to say the visitor's cards are on the back of the bulletin. So
yes.
If you're visiting, please fill it out.
Yeah.
So we can get to know you. Might have a name, phone number, address, whatever, if you would like. But
thank you, Jeff, for reminding us. Yes, and again, you will never be hassled by anyone here at Fruitland, but we just like to know so we have some type of a contact with you, but we're glad that you're here. Along with that being said, I just want to reiterate, too, before we do go to prayer, about our special event next Sunday, and I want to be very clear about this. There is a time change. We will not have Sunday school, per se, but we will meet at 10:15 next Sunday, and that will be a combined service in the morning. And our Institute from Creation speaker, Dr. Johnson, will be having that, I think, for all ages. We will have a nursery if you have small ones. Kim has volunteered to do that. And hopefully this will be a good time to fellowship together. We're going to try to stop right on the dot of 11:30 or close to it. That gives us 2 hours for lunch and so forth, and to be back ready to go at 1:30 for our afternoon service. We are going to need help with this event. I pray that you'll encourage all of our people to be faithful and be here next Sunday. Also, it doesn't have to be Saturday afternoon or evening, but sometime Saturday after I get the final details from the ICR, we need to maybe get chairs transported over here. We need to set up the back fellowship hall so they can have their displays and just care for some of those details. And I know, ladies, and I don't see my wife. There she is. She's not in her usual spot. I knew you were there, but I didn't see you, Kim. Anyway, she will have some helpful details about the handout that we'll have for people that Sunday. We will not be serving food as we normally do at our combined Thanksgiving service due to the COVID situation, but also the anticipated crowd and the need for the space in Fellowship Hall to have the displays. Please be in prayer for this event. Please invite people. This is a great opportunity to invite your friends, your enemies, neighbors, people that might find this interesting. It's been well publicized. Be sure to listen tomorrow morning. Yes, I believe that there's a possibility that Ken and Deb on WDLM will have an interview with Dr. Johnson tomorrow. So I have an eye appointment. I'm going to try to catch him at least till I lose him at Iowa City. Anyway, Kim, others help me. What am I forgetting to say here this morning? We'll look forward to that event and look forward to what God will do in our lives.
Yeah. The recipe for the bread that us ladies are making is on the back table.
Okay, very good.
And if there are copies right now, just see me. I'll get you a copy.
Very good. And again, if you have questions about any of these things, we would love to have your help. We'd like to see you participate. I think it can be a very exciting day. I'm praying for some really good things to take place next Sunday. Pray for Dr. Johnson and the group that's coming with him as well, for Traveler's Mercies, and that he would God would just bring this about in a way that's pleasing to him. Now, one more call for anything we might have missed. Okay, at this time then, we're going to pray. I told you a while back I'm going to be speaking about giving for a week or two before, well, right after the Thanksgiving holiday, so you can kind of anticipate that. I'm doing a little house cleaning in my sermon preparation, so hopefully we'll get back online. Hopefully there'll be messages that can be preached in our time slot, and we'll be able to efficiently look into the Word of God and be motivated. But with that said, we do have that opportunity here to give to the Lord today, and there are receptacles in the back of the auditorium. Again, God gives much criteria in His Word, which we'll look into, but we know this, that God has given us many blessings. And we know that it is a desire of His that we return that thanks to Him with a portion of that. And so as we consider that, as it lines up against the Word of God, we know that these things, these gifts that we give back to Him, are used for the function of the church. And I tell you what, folks, we have a massive need to get the gospel out to people, not only here in our locality, but in the United States and throughout the world. And so we know that the funds that God receives of His people will not be used in vain. And so this is an opportunity to consider that. Again, though, we always want to say we're not here for money. We're here to serve the Lord. But in the course of events, God prospers us and he asks us to give back to him cheerfully or hilariously. So with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer. And then we'll, as the ladies play, we'll have a time to meditate. And then we're going to recognize our veterans. Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again for this day. And for the opportunity, again, Lord, that's been extended to us through your grace and mercy to have this time to worship together and to give back to you a portion of what you've so wondrously given to us. Lord, there's so many things I like about this church. It's your church, but about, in particular, Fruitland. Lord, we still operate by faith in you, and we trust you. No one ever is coerced to do anything here, but Lord, I pray that people will be led as you've prospered them to give back to you, and that we would properly use those resources, Lord, to reach others and to support this local work here that is a lighthouse in our community. Lord, thank you that you've given us the caretaker's position of the truth and the love that's brought about in the Word of God for mankind. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to be mighty in our desires, and Lord, that you'd send additional workers into your harvest fields, that we would have a zeal and a real heartfelt desire to get out there, Lord, and to reach people and to meet people for you. So now, Lord, as people contemplate that today, I pray that you'd bless both the gift and the giver, that you'd be the center of our time of worship to follow. And we thank you today, Lord, for this nation and for those that have served through the years to protect our freedoms that are guaranteed constitutionally and that are all from your very hand. We know, Lord, that true freedom is found in you, and you don't force anyone, but you give us that God-given right, again, to make those choices. And I thank you for that today, Lord. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. God is faithful, is he not? He's never let me down, I know that, and I'm so thankful, but I know that I've let him down at times. Well, this morning, before we go any further, actually, Sharon, you're on right now, so we're going to let you go first, and then we're going to recognize our veterans.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is close. With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice, so sweet the birds hush their singing, and the man he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none ever has ever known.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Thank you. We appreciate that, Sharon. A reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ and the time he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood before he went to the cross for you and for me. Be assured this week, I have not forgotten various ones of you that have mentioned to me some of the cares and concerns and joys that you have in your life. I do know that God wants us to hear and support each other in our burdens that we bear. And so be sure to share those things today and invoke people's prayer on your behalf and your prayer for others on their behalf. But at this time this morning, we want to recognize our veterans that we have here with us today. We are using this time this morning as a little bit of an honor to those that have served our nation through the military. So everyone that's a vet today, would you stand, please? We want to just recognize you with a short applause here this morning. All right, very good. We have several, yes. Praise God. Thank you for what you've done. And before you sit down, we haven't done this in a year and a half because of COVID, but we're going to do a little howdy time today. So go to someone today that you haven't met before and show some interest in them, or maybe you have an inquiry and wonder, what are these people like? I'm going to go over and meet them myself because they never come to see me. But let's take a few moments just to say hello today, that we're glad we're here. Good to have you here today, Bert. Yeah. Al, nice to have you. Yeah. Good morning, Kay. Howdy. Gene Allison, thanks for your service.
Thank
you. How you doing? Good to see you today. Yes. Oh. Hi, Lisa. How are you this morning? Good to see you. Yeah. Dave, great to have you. Yep. Lord bless you, brother. Yep. Matt, how you doing this morning? Glad to have you with us, as always. Yes, you're always welcome. Yep. Bonnie? Good morning, Mary. Thanks for your service. Morning, everyone. How are we doing this morning? Good to have you. Shane, good to see you today. Yep. Woodruff? Morning, Kaylin. Elias? Hook? It's nice to have you here. Shirley, good to meet you. Larry, good to have you here today. Bonnie. Morning, Phil. Hi, Bill. Good to see you. Yeah. Hey, Phil, good to see you. Good morning, Dean. Good to see you, my friend. All right, that's been a missed tradition that we have here at Fruitland for a long time. Let's pray we can continue to do it. Doug, you're next.
morning. We're going to turn to the New Testament. If you can turn there if you like. Matthew chapter 20 is where we're going to read. And here we have the account of Jesus preparing for his crucifixion. And this is the account of the mother of the two disciples, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. So begin in chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her son, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She say unto him, grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on thy right hand and the one on thy left, in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Ask ye also to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Then he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not thine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the two heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called unto him and said, Ye know not that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So, yes. Interesting how, you know, they were worried about who was going to be on the left or the right. But Jesus hadn't even been crucified yet. So amazing how he had that all planned and he knew what was going to come to pass in eternity. But they were worried about what was going on here.
Man, thank you, Doug, for the reading of the Word. Well, good morning once again. It is a wonderful morning to be alive in Christ. Today is a special day. Every day has its place and it has its purpose. And I trust today that God will be honored and that man will be convinced and convicted or comforted in the things that we find in the Word. We usually do take some time every year around Veterans Day to call to mind some of the service that people have made to see us have this wonderful nation that we have. Today will be no exception, but as always, we're here to be involved in the Word, and Doug has given us the groundwork for that. But I'm going to bring today, Lord willing, if he'll allow it, a portion of the address that I made over at the cemetery this last Thursday on November 11th, Veterans Day. And it happens to involve a person that used to be a member, a faithful member of Fruitland Baptist Church. And he's been departed into God's eternity in heaven for a few years now. His widow is still here with us today, Marilyn Howard. But you'll hear this account today. And may we just, again, appreciate the freedoms that have been constitutionally given to us that are defended by our military personnel. And understand that these freedoms are under attack today in the United States, and we may be on the verge of losing those at any time if we let our guard down. So this is a vital and important thing. Let's go to prayer and we'll begin our day. Father, may I simply ask that you'd superintend over this time together in the Word, that you'd anoint my lips today, Lord, and clear my heart. Lord, we know that we need workers in your field. And we know, Lord, that many people today are not looking in those venues. We know, though, that we are called to go out with your message. And we are so thankful, Lord, for what you've given us, a free will. You don't force anyone to do anything, but you call us. And Father, we thank you for those constitutionally guaranteed freedoms in this nation called the United States of America, which is unlike anything ever seen before. And yet today, Lord, we also are aware that we stand at the precipice. We're at the edge of the cliff. And Lord, we ask again that there be a revival and a returning to you in our nation, to the governance once again that is laid out in your holy word. We thank you for it, for its constant, unmoving direction that it gives us and the indication of your love for us that's shown in it through your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, today I know there are many issues in lives. There are some that are at death's door. There are others that are ill. Others may be traveling, even to foreign nations. We lift up the Salas family today. I'm not sure exactly where their status is today with Jason and the boys, but we know that Sandra has been called back to Peru at the loss of her father. And, Lord, so there are many things going on in life today. But I ask today that you'd quiet our hearts now for a minute and encourage us or convict us as it may be necessary from your word and the preaching of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning, and what a wonderful opportunity. This is the address, basically, that I gave over at the cemetery, but it'll be modified after I finish it. But what a wonderful opportunity it is today to take time to honor our military veterans, both living and passed into eternity, for their sacrificial contributions to our God-given and constitutionally guaranteed freedoms that we are yet enjoying in America. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. May God continue to bless and keep those who serve to defend our freedoms. Now, in most any organization or endeavor, 5% of the people involved get 95% of the credit. Do you agree with that statement? 5% of the people, or 95% of the people that are involved, leaves about 5% that get the credit for their involvement. You get what I'm saying there. Maybe I said that wrong. In other words, there's a lot of people that do the work, but very few that get the recognition, okay? Shirley, you got the point on that. That's good. I better stick to my script here. I ask us today to focus on the veterans that fall into that 95% category. Because let's face it, most of the people that we hear about are the ones that fall into the 5%. But the 5% would not have been able to do what they have done unless there was 95% of those that were involved in things as well that maybe weren't the glitz and glamour, but they were involved behind the scenes. That translates into God's work too. There's a lot of people in these pews out here this morning. You're doing things that you may never be publicly recognized for. But let me assure you, you are important to the Lord today. Everyone is important to the Lord today, whatever position that you're in. The ones that did not receive notoriety or fame or maybe even recognition or heroism, but they did their part that made the difference between success and failure. That's the case in our engagements that we've had in our nation through the years, and it's the case in God's program as well. American author Mary Roach sums this up well in the following saying. Now, I do not endorse her, but I do like this saying. Heroism doesn't always happen in a burst of glory. Sometimes small triumphs and large hearts change the course of history. Pretty good saying, isn't it? I think it really is applicable. Well, I don't remember. It's been 2 or 3 years since I had that address, but I know that one of the years I shared over there and I shared here about a man that I knew at my first pastorate up in Corwith, Iowa. His name was Clem Welch, and he survived the Bataan Death March. And you, if you haven't heard about that, I'll be glad to talk to you. But today we're going to go to a local person. This morning I would like to introduce you to a local World War II naval veteran from our area, now in his eternal home in heaven for several years, who well met the above criteria. His name was Herb Howard, Herbert Howard. Usually he sat about right there where Woody's at. It's for some of you old-timers that were here. He was a faithful member of Fruitland Baptist Church for many years, and Herb was a very humble and almost a shy man. Now, if I misrepresent what we know about him, you let me know, Marilyn. You can tell me and others as well. And what I remember and what I was told and helped to remember by Marilyn was that he enlisted in the Navy after Pearl Harbor in 1942. Remember? On December 7th, which isn't too far away, it will have been 80 years since the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. I'm telling you, we're losing our memories of what that day was like. It was a Sunday morning, by the way. But many people saw the gravity of that situation. More on that in a little bit here. But Herb signed up for the Navy Marilyn, tell us, at age?
17.
Kinzer, you told me you're in seventh grade, right? Yeah, that's not too far away. We talked this morning. He's got the countdown already, what he's going to do, go to school. He's going to be an aerospace engineer. I'm excited. I might take a flight if you engineer the... Well, we'll see about that. There you go. Herb followed his five-year-old older brother, Herman, into the service of our nation. I always liked Herb. Some of us around here even called him Herbie. You remember that? Yeah. And I thanked him many times for his service. Lonnie, you might want to chime in on this because you mentioned this too a while back about talking with Herb. But I think I've got this accurately laid out here. We thanked him for many times for his service, and he recalled some of his experiences in the South Pacific during the fierce battles with the Japanese. By the way, the first year, the U.S. was getting whipped pretty badly. But Herb did not serve on a battleship, a destroyer, a cruiser, an aircraft carrier, or any other combat craft, but he served on a supply ship delivering to those vessels. This is what I mean here. That was not a glamorous thing in the annals of history, but it was an important thing. Where would they be without it? And from what I ever talked to him and when I thanked him, he didn't really believe himself to be a big hero like those that were the 5%ers. Isn't that how you, Woody, you remember talking to Herb about those? Yep. He didn't believe that he was all that important. But I always told him that what he did made the difference and allowed the combat vessels to accomplish their mission and to succeed. And after about 1943, the tide turned in that war by God's grace. I'll talk a little more about that as I get down to the end here. I better keep my papers straight here today. You'll be shocked if I ever do go to an iPad, how nice that'll be. The majority of veterans serve in these roles. And I know most of you that are vets and so forth, but if you took a poll, the majority are the 95%ers. They fulfilled their roles that supported the efforts. And they are the real defense force that are unsung heroes indeed. I wish I had recorded more of what he told me of his tour of duty. Some of you know that my mind, I used to think I was fairly sharp, but I've forgotten some things. I really have. And it comes with our maturity level, our age. His last widowed wife, now in her 90s, could not help me much on the recollections, but she did recall one for me, right, Marilyn? You remember what one you told me here a week or so ago? One time when they were transferring supplies either to or from another ship, they had problems on their ship with a washing machine. Marilyn, go ahead. Now, I know that Herb is forgiven in Christ, and I don't know that he actually had a hand in that. We'll assume that he did not. But they acquired... They acquired, now again, let's understand, in the 40s, we did not have automatic washers. The washers that were around in those days in homes were wringer washers, but that's not probably what was on those vessels. We don't have a Navy veteran here, do we, today? But what was probably, it was more of an industrial-type washing machine. And can you imagine what that would be like to be on a vessel with a lot of people and the thing, you know, you have to have clean clothes. Yeah, it was important. So I know the Lord's forgiven him for that. Marilyn, go ahead.
He didn't get saved until he was 40 years old.
Yep.
He and his wife, they came here at an evangelistic meeting, and that's
yep.
when he got saved. He was 40 years old.
Yep. Herb and Mildred, and then Herb and Janet, and then Herb and Marilyn. So his two wives that preceded Marilyn passed away. Yep. Anyway, that was a little snippet of Herb Howard. And again, we don't come to glorify, but we want to honor people like Herb that were the 95%ers that were out there doing things. So you'll always remember that about the washing machine. We need to recognize and thank living vets no matter what they did in service because they are all necessary and important heroes. Without people like Herb Howard that served where they did, We could have easily seen the Axis powers. Do people, young people even know who they were? That was Germany, Japan, and Italy. Hitler, Mussolini, Hirohito. And I'll tell you what, folks, if they'd have taken over our world, we'd be living in a much different world today. But I'll add along with that, some of the threats that we face today are just as bad or worse. And we better understand that freedom is not free. It requires benevolence and it requires courage. Anyway, think about these things for what people have done. And the threats to our freedom continue to this day, as I mentioned, but may we never forget that 95% that contribute mightily, yet silently, to our well-being as citizens of the United States of America. And I pray that God will continue to watch over and protect our military forces in our day and beyond. Amen. Now, that was the end of the message over at the cemetery, but you know me. You got to get your money's worth, right? And we need to always go into the Word of God, because that's why we're here. And it is the most important thing that we can look at. So today, this brings us to a passage of Scripture that Doug has just brought forth to you here just a few moments ago about us being concerned with the commendation of God over the commendation of man. And that's what we're here about today. How will you be reviewed in God's commendation? And by the way, even for the believer, we will have a trial that we will face. We will be adjudicated by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for what we have or have not done, based on the commands of His Word. It does not exclude us from heaven, but we are going to be made aware. And let me just say this, and I'm preaching to me first here today. Today's the day to change and get it right before it's too late. Pastor John, get yourself changed around by the help of the Lord, that at least I go no further down the path of the wrong things and get it right. Anyway, today's example that Doug read for you in Scripture talks about that very thing. You know, Herb's humility and servant's heart applied to the things of God will be noticed in the kingdom of God and rewarded. And let me just say this, and I am not here to raise up men, but Herb was always willing to help, and he was interested in the well-being of people for the Lord. He had a servant's heart not only in the military, but also in the ministry, okay, of people. So today, let's look through Matthew 20, 17 through 28 briefly and grasp some points. Doug well laid this out. Jesus is headed for the cross. This is fairly, we're getting into a point here where I believe he began to ramp that up with the disciples. They were not just there as a touring group. They were there because of a reason and a purpose. And Jesus was telling them, you know what? I'm going to be going to the cross here soon. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to be raised again the third day. And this program is going to move on. And folks, that program is still moving today. But you see, as it is with us humans, we live in the flesh. Now, we can be delivered from the flesh through the things of the Spirit. That's how we're changed. That's how we're rearranged, you see, spiritually. But in that situation that Jesus was talking about, the humanity of people came out. And it happened to be the humanity that was brought here by the mother of James and John, the sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee. And you know how it is with mothers. Now, I'm not a mother, but I've been around some. And let me tell you, mothers, they like to run interference for their children. Dean, are you having a little trouble there with your hand? Oh, okay. we'll be careful here now. Yeah. Well, am I right about that or am I crazy? You know, people call me Crazy John sometimes. Huh? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've told you before with Kim, you know, you mess with her cubs. Julia, you verify this, you better watch out, right? There you go. Moms, they like to run a little interference to be sure that their children come out on top. And I'll have to say this even, I think it's a little more, again, I have to be careful. I think moms tend to watch out for their boys and dads watch out for their girls. Julia's giving me a deep stare with her brown eyes. Julia's name is Hook to me, and some of you know that, Hook. I don't even know where that came from, but it's stuck all these years. And anyway, we're glad to have you here from the great land of Chicago, Julia. Yeah, with us this morning. By the way, don't neglect to pray for Kim's family, and her mother is probably on very short time. And so that's one of the reasons that the daughters came back yesterday, to have a little time to sit with Grandma Wanda. And anyway, this has been a rough patch for Kim, so continue to remember her and uphold her in prayer. Anyway, that's the case. So verse 20, we find, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Come on, little boys. I'm going to go run some interference for you with Jesus. We're going to make sure that you get put in what place? The two top positions of honor. Doesn't that sound like a, yeah, a running interference, Mom? It sure does. And they did worship him. They had the right heart attitude, but yet in their humanity and in their lack of understanding, what was the reason that they came? By the way, you'll know people's motives when they start to ask things. You know, we all have this ability to greet each other and say it's a wonderful day, so on and so forth, but then when we get down to the nitty-gritty, we really find what people are there for. Right? And he said unto her, they were desiring a certain thing of him. They wanted a favor. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? Jesus was pretty willing to help people, wasn't he, in this time in his ministry? He was healing people, casting out demons, you know, helping a lot of different situations, raising the dead. All kinds of things that he had come. So he was known as a God of help. But you know, there are some things that the Lord can't do, or may choose not to do, is a better way I should say that for us, but that we need to get figured out on who? Ourselves. And Jesus is going to do that very thing today in this text that we look at. He said unto her, what will thou? What do you want? She saith unto him, grant that these two, my two sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Well, she wasn't asking for any small thing, was she? And if you're going to ask, you might as well go for the gold. The two greatest positions of honor in heaven, the right and the left-hand side. By the way, where is Jesus today? He's seated at the right hand of God. The right hand is the first position of honor. Yes, he is. He's waiting to be sent back for us. You know, when the time of the fullness of time, or the fullness of time has come, where God's going to work his end times program. And so she was worried about their positional place in heaven and how they would be seated accordingly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, give her credit. She was at least looking toward heaven. By the way, we ought to be looking toward heaven, Pastor John, and what's going on in my life, and how that's all going to shake out. But Jesus is going to answer for us here something that's very important about our position in heaven. But Jesus answered, verse 22, and said, you don't know what you ask. Or in the KJV it says, you know not what you ask. Your thinking's wrong. You're thinking in the earthly, the humanistic pattern here, Mrs. Zebedee. I hate to tell you this, but the things of God don't always work in the ways of man. In fact, what's God say? My ways are what? Higher than your ways. Your ways are not my ways. And let me just say this morning, folks. We better come to understand how God works, because he does not work in the way that we think he should work. And all of us might be just a little surprised as we open this book and study it, that maybe we're thinking a little wrong about things. You agree with that? So Jesus answered her and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink? And they're probably, Mrs. Zebedee's probably saying, whoa, what do you mean? I can drink. No, Jesus wasn't talking about a literal cup. He was talking about the cup that we sing in the battle hymn of the Republic, of the wrath of God. See, understand this, folks. God's wrath on man's sin was poured out on his son, Jesus Christ. The cup of wrath. He says, Mrs. Zebedee, you don't know what you're talking about. Are you willing to be and able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? No, Jesus was not talking about water baptism here. If we have some vets here today that were in literal combat, hand-to-hand combat, and open warfare with an enemy, do we have any that are? I again, just to clarify this, I'm not a draft dodger, but the Vietnam War ended when I was in high school, and I didn't have to sign up. There was 2 years. I'm one of those notches where no one had to sign up for anything. But if you're in that kind of a situation, it's called the baptism under fire. And quite frankly today, folks, I couldn't tell you what would happen to me in that type of a situation, and neither could you. You could sit here today and pin a nose to your, or a rose to your nose, not a nose to your rose. Well, you could try that too. And you say, well, I do this and say, no, you don't know what you do when you're under fire. And let's just lay it on the line today. I know enough about this. I'm not as dumb as I look. There are a lot of military people, when they come under fire, they run. Why? Who wouldn't be scared? Well, God's not scared. That's right. Good for you this morning, being on top of things. That's right. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus was telling Mrs. Zebedee, your boys are going to, are they willing to be baptized under fire? Because you know what? What he's saying here is they're going to go through some things just like I'm going to go through. And we know that every one of Jesus' disciples, either biblically recorded or secularly recorded, lost their lives for Jesus. By the way, today, we could lose our life. We had this in our Wednesday prayer. By the way, come to prayer meeting. There are some good things there. But what I'm saying is, we could be in that position with Jesus today, standing for him. And I guarantee you, there will be people that when, if there are bullets that fly or harm comes to be, they're going to say, well, I'm on the sidelines. I'm a spectator here. Dean, followers versus what? Admirers and followers are two different things. You've heard that from me before. You had a chance to think about that. Those books are still circulating, by the way, too. But he says, you don't know what you're getting into, but what's Mama say? See it there in 22? And what do the boys say? No problem. By the way, the Apostle John's secular history records that he was boiled in a pot of oil on the island of Patmos. That's how he met his demise. That's this boy being talked about here. Johnny. Yep, no problem, we're ready. God forbid any of us are in that mode this morning. Yep, we're all set, Lord. You don't know what might be coming down the pike. 23, and he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. And it came true. I just told you, secular biblical history show us that people that followed Jesus Christ, his disciples, all died a martyr's death. It's not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for who it is prepared of my Father. So Jesus says what? This is in the Father's hands. But Jesus does not leave them hopeless. He doesn't say that that couldn't be the case. He doesn't say that that can't be the case for someone here. We don't know positionally, again, where we are going to stack up. And it's not something to worry about today. We should just be worrying about what? The kingdom of God. And how we're handling it today to the best of our ability. There's nothing worse than not handling it all. We're called to be accountable. Verse 24, and when the 10 heard of it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Meaning, you, why did you bring something like, have you ever been with someone that brings something up that makes you uncomfortable? Makes you want to squirm and you'd like to say, give me some staples, I want to staple your lips. I've been in that position a few times. I know some of you probably have with me. Kim deals with it on a daily basis. Anyway, they were basically saying, don't you know when to be quiet? You're making yourself look like what? But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Here we get come back to our premise today. There's 5% that rule over the 95%. Because what? They're the princes. But that 95% still is important. And that's the point of what Jesus said. Folks, I want to think today that we're a part of that 95%. I don't think we should ever have a thought that we're part of the 5%. That we be thinking all the way along. If by any chance God recognizes me at all, it's going to be by His total grace. I'm in the 95%. I need to be in the trenches. I've not arrived. But Jesus says in 26, "But it shall not be so among you." But then He gives the answer here to Mom and the boys. He says, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." That word minister means servant. To get big in the kingdom of God, be mighty, but in the 95% here on earth, a servant. Think about Herb Howard in the Navy. It's that simple. If we're looking for human notoriety, you can find it. But let me just tell you what, folks. No medal, no recognition, no honor. You know, you can have the president hang that medal around your neck. It's not going to do you a bit of good in the kingdom of heaven unless you have given it as a servant for Jesus Christ. We live in a day when no one is not recognized for things. In other words, we live in a day where discrimination has been brought up and now no one gets nothing, everyone gets something. And you know, in our human thinking, that sounds okay, doesn't it? But that's not the way Jesus works. He's going to bless above and beyond those that had the humble heart and that were the servants. That's how to be great today. Dig into the trenches. Take that position of where you go out to call on someone, where you're scared to death to do it, but take one step and then take another. And find ways to reach people. Don't hole up in your fortress and say, "I'm saved. That's all I need today." That's not the way the Bible teaches. It's not the way Jesus teaches. Get out there and get into the trenches. See what God has for you. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Be the biggest servant and leave it in God's hands. In verse 27, "And whosoever will be chief among you." Chief means what?
Church.
First. First. You know, we've all been ingrained with this. Maybe not so much in the later generations, but you got to be number one. Go for the gold. If you're not the best, you're nothing. But here again, he says to be number one, you've got to be a servant. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." That's why Jesus came, folks. He came as God in the flesh. And you know what? He came down to our position as the God-man to die for us. As a servant. Out of love. Did Jesus have to do that? He did not. They were warned in the garden of the consequences. And yet God sent His Son, His only Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. He took God's wrath. He drank that cup that He talked about here of the wrath of God on the cross of Calvary. And He lived and was resurrected and now sits at the right hand of God. We know His position. He's there for a reason and a purpose. And let me tell you, no one's going to question the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the sin of every sinner in this world that ever has been and ever will be on that cross of Calvary. He's in first place. We're where? We're where we'll be placed if we've done what we need to do. He says, "Who will be great will be your servant." You got the point on this? Here's the conclusion. The lowly in the eyes of man, humble servant, with a heart to serve God is who is most favored in heaven by God. God's ways are not our ways. If you want to be well thought of by God, serve Him with all your heart. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." If we are anything short of a willing servant prepared to give it all for Jesus, we are in need of a new heart. There's a lot of people that don't have clogged arteries or problems with their physical heart that have heart problems, and probably some here today, if not all of us. And I'm including myself in that. We need a new heart. In other words, we need our attitude about ourselves and the Lord changed. Now is a good time. Now is a good time. We're all of us a bunch of procrastinators. Well, Lord, I'll get to that soon. What about sooner?
What about now?
That's what I'm saying. Now is a good time to get it set right and be servant soldiers in God's army. If you are here apart from Christ today, in other words, you're unsaved, you are a servant of Satan in his army. I got to tell it like it is. You're a servant of Satan, but you're also a servant of yourself. And there are no rewards, my friends, in hell. It's time to join the Lord's army, and He is recruiting today. Even on Sunday, with eternal and current benefits. I'm done talking. May the Lord bless you today. May you think about what's been said this morning from His Word. Amen. Let's take our handout this morning that you have in your bulletins. This is the time now for your response to the Lord. By the way, you will respond today. You may choose to walk the aisle. I don't tell you to do that. That's up to the Lord. If there's something you need to lay at the foot of His throne, that's great. If you need help, I'm here to help you. But to a certain extent, I'm the blind leading the blind. Jesus is the one that can help you. But let me tell you today, even your silence, if you turn and walk out the door, you've responded to God. It's in your court. It's your serve. But God is there today, and He's waiting for your response. And He wants to see us get these things straightened out. I wish for you a blessed afternoon. Come back tonight. We'll feed more on the Word. Here it is about being a servant. You come today to the Lord and set these things straight. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. What I long for, You have given life to me. Thank You, Lord, for our time together in the Word. Captain Naylor, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, we're thankful today for another opportunity to get together and worship You, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You bless this church and the things that are going on here at the church this coming week with the Creation Science Minister coming. That's successful not only for Your kingdom, but for our church and local community here, and that there are people that may come, Lord, and change their minds about You and come and serve You, Lord Jesus. We ask that You bless those that are having difficulty today with various things, and we are thankful, Lord, that You've still given our nation freedom to assemble and get together and worship You, Lord. We pray that You'll be with us as we depart and bring us back together again. In Jesus' name.